Hey guys, this is Colin McAuliffe. You're listening to Today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with Today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio. And keeping with the whole coronavirus theme, I am speaking today with the guitar player Trey from the band Creeping Death. That's probably a bad segue, huh?
Nah, it's all good. Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing? So, yeah, we were just talking a little bit before we got started. Cleveland Browns fan, huh?
Absolutely. And I just want to say I'm really happy they changed those jerseys, those eyesores of a jersey they've had the last 5 years. But yeah, I'm a diehard Browns fan, man. My mom's from Ohio. She grew up a Browns fan, so obviously she passed that on to me. I've been struggling with everyone up the area at the same time since 99, since they came back. You know, I'm hoping I can turn it around, but you know, it's still the Browns, so we'll see.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm in my tail end of my 40s, so you know, I've been through a lot with these Cleveland Browns.
Oh yeah, my mom still shudders when people mention John Elway. So I mean, I understand.
Oh, I know. I just felt it in my chest when you said that name. But, I got to the point where I just kind of gave up. Like I was telling you, I live right down the street from the training center, and I just got to the point where it was just like, I can't do it anymore. And, you know,
yeah.
I'm sober now. I used to drink back in my day, you know, and, but for whatever reason, when I seen that video footage of Baker smashing that beer on his head and shotgunning it or whatever, like Stone Cold style, I was just like, all right, I'm going to start watching again.
Hopefully they can turn it around here soon.
Yeah, man, we'll see. But yeah, we're going to be on here talking just about Cleveland Browns this time.
Yeah, sorry for the non-sports fans out there.
No problem, man. We try and cover every kind of different anything entertainment on the show. So wherever we go, you know. But I wanted to, you know, see with you know, everything going on in the world, what's life been like? I mean, you're in Texas, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the way down in. I live in Fort Worth, Texas, right now.
Okay, and what's it been like down there during this whole coronavirus thing? Pretty much.
When it first started, people were panic buying everything, and it was kind of hectic. But now it's kind of got a flow to it, I guess. I don't know. There's still, you're going to have those contingency of people that want to go out and do stuff. And there's half the people wanting to stay in and stay away. And Texas is big and spread out enough that if you want to stay away, you can, if you want. So that's pretty cool. I'm lucky. I'm blessed enough to still have a job right now. I work in mental health. So, obviously people are still going to want to,
you know, I'm sure you're probably picking up some extras now, you know, people freaking out,
yeah,
you know, the media fear and everything.
Sure. So people are the anxiety's pretty high right now. So, the office, I'm lucky as well because the office itself is closed. The doctors aren't seeing any face-to-face patients, but I'm up there answering phones and things like of that nature. And there's no one there. So it's pretty peaceful. And then I just come home, I play Call of Duty Warzone, or I play Madden, or I play God of War, or whatever video game I happen to be playing. That's pretty much my whole life since this whole thing has kicked off, since we were in the middle of a tour when it happened and it got canceled. Yeah, so that's basically been it since quarantine's been started.
And how would you say your governor's been handling things down there? I mean, I always look at Texas like, you know what, we're going to do what we want, and it's all about freedom, you know. But how's he been handling things down there? What's his name, Governor Greg Abbott?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I guess you can do whatever you want, but I'm more worried about, I don't think people are thinking about the healthcare workers, that if people do want to go out like and do stuff, like, and you do get sick, like, someone's going to have to take care of you, and they're already so, you know, stressed as it is. So I just don't want to see more people stress the healthcare system as it is. I'd rather everyone just kind of wait it out.
Yeah, wait it out.
Yeah, but I mean, I get it. You want to get out and you want to do stuff and whatnot. But, you know, try to weigh that out, I guess. That's what I would say. I'm personally staying inside until I am absolutely comfortable. The only people I'm seeing are my family and my bandmates. And that's really because we were already on tour when this stuff happened. So we were already together for a while. So
where were you guys at exactly when you got the news and then you just had to head home, huh?
We were actually very lucky because where we finished off on the tour, we had a week break and we were going to meet up in Salt Lake City on the 20th. So we finished off in Austin on the 11th. So we were able to go back home and all that stuff. But I mean, previously before that, we had pretty much driven through all of the hot spots just on the tours we were in on. We played the entire West Coast and then we drove across the country to the East Coast. We played in Long Island, then we drove all the way down south, played in Florida and back to Texas. So, you know, it was kind of crazy. We had to all pretty much get home and kind of just stay in for a minute. So, but yeah, it's all we're all good now. Everybody's healthy. We're writing new music right now, you know, making good use of time, stuff like that. So we're all good in our camp.
Yeah, right, it's now. Not all just Call of Duty, right? You're putting some creativity out there.
Yeah, definitely got a lot of voice memos going on the old iPhone.
Oh, nice. So, I was checking out your video for Ripping Through the Flesh, and mm-hmm. I was curious, where did you guys film that at?
We actually filmed it in two places. We filmed it in the cave with no name in Burney, Texas. It's like maybe 2 hours outside of Austin. And maybe 45 to an hour outside of San Antonio, somewhere in that space in between hill country there. And then the other cave was the Wonder Cave in San Marcos, Texas, right there by Texas State's campus. So it was two places.
Oh, two separate caves then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it looked badass. I like that. I was like...
Oh, yeah, it was really cool. The cave that... So Reese and Lincoln filmed theirs at the cave with no name. And that cave is like a 7-story walk downstairs. And then the room, they said that they tried to take pictures to let you know how big it was. But like you couldn't because it was just so massive that everything was just dwarfed and pictures couldn't do it justice. So I was like, man, you guys were lucky because our cave, it was really cool still, but not nearly as big and extravagant as theirs.
Wow, sweet. And what was the story that was being told in the video? Because everything was like happening so fast. I mean, you guys were jamming in the cave and then, you know, people are getting like ripped apart and stabbed and everything.
Yeah, that's just the whole basis of the song. Reese comes up with all the lyrics and all the themes and things of that nature, album art ideas. So their idea for the song basically comes from their favorite game, RuneScape. It's basically just this MMO, which is a massively multiplayer online RPG game that he plays or they play with their clan or whatever. And basically, sometimes they do these are the equivalent of just raids where you go into an area, you try to get the treasure or the loot or whatever, and you try to, obviously other people are trying to get it too, so you're fighting those people for it. And that's basically where the idea comes from. It was just kind of born out of that. They play that game every day, so it's just kind of where it came from. But, I mean, not all of the songs on the album itself are about video games. You know, Reese talks about anxiety, politics, and all sorts of stuff. It kind of ranges. So it's not just a bunch of video game nonsense and stuff like that.
Well, no, it was a cool video. Like I said, I'm big into caves and stuff like that, so it looked like something to definitely check out once we get to travel again.
Yeah
So you were saying you guys are working on some new stuff. Like, how are you guys making it happen then? You're not able to kind of get together and jam, though, right? You're kind of just, you're recording your parts at home and sending it to...
We have a spot that we can practice at where, like, nobody goes. It's basically ours, our area. So
okay.
we're able to leave our stuff there. We can get together, and there's not really any outside things. So we can keep it together when we need to get together. We haven't gotten together in a minute, but we have written, we've got pieces of new songs and stuff like that. But yeah, we're gonna keep banging it out. I'm probably gonna start trying to record things here and there on my computer and send it out to them as I get more recording equipment. I'm starting to get more of that stuff in. So, you know, slow. It's a process, but yeah, you know, we're able to meet on a very like limited basis. So we just got to make use of our time, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, and like, I mean, we were talking about mental health and you working in that field. You need an outlet. Everybody needs an outlet.
Absolutely.
You know, so
absolutely.
It's got to be, you know, good for you guys, therapeutic to get together and jam and create during these times.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And it's big enough that we could stay apart. But, you know, I don't think anyone is really sick or anything like that. But, you know, it's good to take precautions just in case.
Yeah, but, I mean... I'm anxious to see, you know, what kind of this situation, how it'll be influenced through the music and the lyrics on upcoming music from you guys. Stuff.
Oh yeah, as far as the music goes, you know, I think you're just gonna see hopefully a nice progression from Wretched Illusions. I think we're gonna. Use a lot of the same influences, but you know, add some new ones here and there. So we're gonna try to do our thing and jam out. As far as the lyrics, if Reese writes anything about being in quarantine, I'm gonna kill him. Like, you know, I'm gonna be like, veto. Come on, be more creative. Come on now, Reese.
Exactly. I mean, go into like saying running out of like toilet paper or something like that. You know, something.
Yeah.
Everybody
can...
Oh man. Now you play guitar in the band, mm-hmm. When did you, how old would you say you were when you realized that you wanted to play music, you know, and then what influenced you like towards playing guitar?
I actually started playing music when I was about 12. I'm actually a drummer. Usually, I usually play drums. My mom taught me how to play drums when I was 12. I did percussion in band from, 7th grade to 9th grade, so from like 12 to 14 pretty much. So that gave me a lot of underlying basis of rhythm, you know, how to read music and stuff like that. So that helped definitely learning guitar later on. I didn't learn guitar until I was about 19. So I taught myself how to play with ultimateguitartabs.com. So I just kind of learned just other songs from bands I liked, and then I just kind of picked up on the tendencies of, you know, what sounds good after this part and all that stuff, you know, which notes go after which notes and make certain sounds. And basically I learned scales and stuff, but I just had to read it as numbers for a minute. But yeah, that's just kind of how I learned how to play guitar. I really wanted to learn how to play guitar because I was tired of not being able to play a musical instrument like at all times. It was driving me nuts that my best friend growing up, he was always the guitar guy and I was the drum guy. So when we would jam, I would always obviously be drums, but we would be hanging out later and he'd just have his guitar and I'd be like, man, I want to play drums right now, but I can't because it's, you know, 11 p.m. at night. So that's kind of why I wanted to get a guitar. It was just kind of, you know, have something to jam on when I couldn't play drums. And it's funny because now it's like my main instrument now. I don't play drums nearly as much as I used to, and definitely lost some chops there, but I keep getting better at guitar, so I guess it's an even trade-off.
Yeah, definitely a plus. So you were saying your mom got you into playing the drums and stuff. What kind of music would you say? I mean, do you remember, like, as a kid growing up, and like your mom, like, very musical herself? And
oh yeah, she taught me how to play the drums. She played in like hair metal bands in Ohio, actually. I can't remember their name. She played an all girl like hair metal band in the late 80s, and they toured around Ohio and the Midwest. Yeah,
I know some people that probably know them too. And and where were you guys at the time? You said Columbus when she lived here.
She was born and raised in Columbus. She played. That was like the late 80s, early 90s, and then she did that for a little bit. So she gets it. Like, she was definitely instilled the whole music thing into me. It was funny because even though she played lots of rock and guitar music and Rush and Metallica and Slayer and Pantera and stuff like that around me as a kid, I didn't really take to it at all. I was mostly a rap and R&B kid until I was about 12. And then I something just clicked, and she played Tom Sawyer for probably the 400 millionth time. And she was just like, "Trey, I just this drum solo." And she just like air drummed it. And I was like, "Okay, this is sick. Like, I want to learn how to do this." She was like, "All right, I can get you a drum set whenever we have the money to get you a drum set. We'll get you one." And she was true to her word. She got me a drum set, and you know, that's where it kind of started.
That's great, man. What a good mom. She wanted to save you from falling into that hip hop trap. You know, she's like, "I'm not giving up on my son. I'm bringing him back."
Hey, I still love hip hop. She loves hip hop. We all listen to That's the cool thing about my family, is that we are not limited to like anything. We listen to every single type of music under the sun. And I think that it helps me with playing metal and Creeping Death, because sometimes people, I don't think, really will pick up on influences that aren't necessarily outside of that genre, you know, because I would say I'm absolutely influenced by soul, R&B, and hip hop and stuff like that. Because to me, it's not just about the notes and stuff. It's more about the rhythm and the feeling you get from the music. And I think that music like that, soul, hip hop, and R&B, it conveys like a swing, a feeling, you know, a mood to it that you can bring to metal, like a groove, you know? So that's kind of like, that's definitely how I work that into that as well. So
no, I get what you're saying. I liked the older stuff, the stuff my kids are listening to today. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Some of the SoundCloud rap isn't for everyone. I feel that for sure. But yeah, you know, there's still good stuff out there for sure too.
Good.
Hello, and thanks for listening to today's Boondoggle. And now, for your listening pleasure, Florence Whitingale presents his latest epoch. So it's
okay. I got my hold on. I got a man upstairs right now. He's a truck driver. He'll take care of you. What state you in, brother?
I'm in Colorado.
Okay, hold on a minute. Hold on.
Hey, Mason. Hey, Mason.
It's okay if he stays on your sofa right quick. Oh, hold on, here it comes.
He stays on my.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hello. Hello, what's going on, brother? What's up?
Hey, man, are you 18 years old, registered to vote?
Oh, hell yeah, I'm 18. Sometimes I vote, sometimes I vote. But hey, my man Double D, Dream Daddy, says I can stay over on your sofa. Where does he live?
He lives in Colorado.
Oh, you live in Colorado, brother?
What's he stay on my sofa for, man?
Well, because I'm about to bring you some hoes. Need a place to crash out. We gonna party big time. Dream Daddy gonna be with me and we gonna... Man, I got these hoes in my truck. I don't let my dog know. You know what I mean? I got these mean fine hoes that just be popping out the back of the truck. Just like a jack in the box. And they got them hoes in the box. I got the hoes in the rig. So let's get down, Angelo. How much money you got, man?
Yeah, man,
what's up, brother? Okay, oh, okay. Yeah, but when we get together, we gonna party like rock stars and be tired of them hoes.
Show.com. But for now, feel the flow. Exclusively here on today's Boondoggle.
Good. So, did you remember like any of the other, like, could you name some of the bands that like influenced you as a youth that, you know?
Like as a musician?
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, every kid in Texas who picks up guitar at some point is influenced by Dimebag and Pantera. So definitely that one. A big one people probably wouldn't expect for me is Prince, just as a musician in general. Prince is one of my favorite artists and has been since I was literally a baby. So that's definitely a big one. As far as definitely, obviously, Neil Peart, Rush inspired me to play drums. As far as like guitar playing, I was so old by the time I learned how to do stuff that really the only thing I kind of got inspired by was the dive bombs and things like that, because I had to learn through Ultimate Guitar. So it was a little bit different than having like someone teach you, or you're a little kid and you're learning from like something else. But for the drums, definitely, it's funny, the drummer for Avenged Sevenfold, I used to be a really big Avenged Sevenfold fan when I was a little kid. That's the whole reason I can use a double kick pedal, is that. And Stuart Copeland, definitely rhythmically, Stuart Copeland from Police, dude, like rhythmically, man, that has inspired me as a musician. I think and syncopation and things like that just constantly because of just music like that, you know. So I try to bring a little bit of everything into music, you know.
Oh, that's great.
At least my music.
Oh, good to hear. So since you've been playing guitar and stuff, do you have like an all-time favorite riff beast out there that you're just like, man, if I could hit it like this guy, you know, somebody that you look at and you're like, man, I got to learn that.
I mean definitely like Dimebag, but if you're talking about people who are still like playing and going around, Blake from Power Trip plays so clean. I would love to clean up my, especially my solos, clean up being able to play and shred like that. Definitely, it's funny because people always ask like questions like this, and I always tell them, Eric, like our bass player, definitely Eric is one of my biggest helps and inspirations in playing guitar, because he's seriously been there since I started playing guitar. So any question I had or anything I needed help with, I would always go to Eric. I would go to Eric for advice, and I would go to Eric for just anything guitar related. And so definitely Eric has shaped my guitar playing and guitar skills probably more than any person, I would say.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool that you guys got that. I mean, you're kind of, you guys got to be like family, man. You're with each other all the time, hitting the road. So it's good to have, you know, that support.
And I've known Eric since, at this point, it's near 10 years. So we've been around the block together for sure.
That's cool. Cool, man. What would you say is on the horizon for Creeping Death right now? I mean, I know everything's kind of like on pause, but you know, eventually you'll be back out playing again. The world's
gonna
open
back up. Oh yeah, absolutely. As soon as we're able, we're gonna start touring again. As soon as it's safe and able for people to attend shows and stuff like that again, we're definitely gonna hit the road hard. We were in the middle of hitting the road hard. We had a bunch of stuff in the spring before the summer hit that was going on, and you know, now we have a bunch of leftover merch and all this stuff. So we're gonna be hitting it hard for sure. And now with the downtime, we're gonna try our best to get some new music out. Probably not this year, but definitely we're gonna be getting new music out sooner than we would have if this didn't happen. So we're gonna be writing some tunes and expect that soon, hopefully.
Now, did you have anything booked that hasn't been canceled yet, or just everything's gonna be starting from scratch for you guys?
There's certain things like Psycho Las Vegas, I think technically hasn't canceled yet. But I'm August is very up in the air. I don't know what's going to be going on in August, especially, you know, something like that big. So I guess we'll see. We have tour offers still for this year going out into the fall. So, I guess, you know, it's just this waiting game. You know, we'll wait and see. That's all we can really do is just control what we can control, which is us trying to write some new tunes and stuff like that. So
exactly.
All you can do.
Yeah, good point there. That's what I've been telling some of my friends and family, that, you know, when the anxiety starts getting them from the news and all that stuff, I'm like, look, do we have any control over it? I mean, me, myself, being sober, I, you know, work the program and I'm in the Serenity Prayer, something I've been saying a lot. Do I have control over this situation? No, I don't. So, you know, all we can do is like wait and work on what we can. So I wanted to ask you some of the questions that I ask my regulars on here. Like, who would you say are like your top three musical artists?
Oof, that is so hard, because it changes from genre to genre, and sometimes day to day for me.
Yeah, it sounds like it with the wide influence that you have there, and which is great though. Maybe you could pick you already mentioned Prince.
Prince is up there. Rush is up there. So it's like I have ones for like metal, so it's like Metallica up there, Slayer is up there. As far as death metal goes, definitely Blood Red Throne, and then like Obituary and Sepultura and stuff like that. We're talking like maybe hardcore, then definitely Trapped Under Ice, big for me. Half Heart, Trash Talk. If we're talking like formative for like hip hop, definitely like East Coast stuff, Biggie, Nas, stuff like that. That's definitely like formative for me. So my dad's from New York, so big East Coast hip hop head. So that's kind of wave is like what I'm into. So it depends. You know, it's so much. Like even now, there's probably a bunch of people that like 15 minutes from now, I'm gonna be in the car just listening to music or something, just like oh, I should have said this one, or oh, I should have said this one.
Yeah, when your playlist is on shuffle, it could be anything, right?
Exactly, exactly. It's like, oh man, this one, I love this one. It's like, how did I not think of this the other day? So
that's great.
There's probably a bunch I'm forgetting. So
this next one's probably going to be tough for you too, then. Is there a song that you feel has inspired you in life? Like maybe there was like a really dark time or something you were dealing with, and then there was just that one go-to song that was just like, okay.
Oh, actually, this question is super easy. For me, it is Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison. It has been my favorite song of all time. According to my mother, it's been my favorite song of all time, basically since it's come out. So I'm 26. I think that song came out in 96, so I was 3. So from basically from the time I was 3 or 4 years old to now, it's been my favorite song like the whole time. So
it's Swagger as a toddler then, huh?
that's the stuff they were playing when I was like a little kid, you know, just bumping stuff like that, and back Blackstreet and, you know, Boyz II Men, you know that kind of stuff.
Cool. So do you have like a morning ritual or routine that you try and keep with every day?
Like during quarantine?
Oh, I mean, even out of quarantine, is there something you try and like a basic routine, or is it just get up, get ready and go to work basically?
Yeah. You know, if I'm not on, I guess if I'm on tour, well, it's kind of the same, I guess. I'm pretty good about waking up. So I'm usually up and at them by at least 9, even during quarantine. My only issue now is that the only really big difference is that instead of getting a full night's sleep, I sleep in like 4-hour increments throughout the day. So I'll go to bed and I'll wake up 3 or 4 hours later and it'll be like 4 or 5 in the morning. And then I'll fall asleep again. And then I'll wake up at 9 and then I'll be up for a little bit. And then I'll take a long nap during the day. And then I'll be up for a little bit, and then I'll sleep again at night. And it's like, it's just this weird, bizarro time, like, loop that I'm in right now.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's throwing off right now.
Yeah. And like I said earlier, I'm lucky enough to still have a job and go to work. So when I wake up early for work, it's like, it's fine because my body's still used to waking up fairly early. But I still, at the same time, I'm not getting the same rest as I should be.
I gotcha. Is there a favorite place that you've visited, like either on the tours or any time through your life that you just always are like, man, I got to go back there, or I enjoy going there?
Man, that's so many questions. So many places. Man, I love going to California. I was actually born in California, so we lived there for kind of a short time. But I love going back, and I love visiting. It's beautiful, and I have a lot of friends there, and it's musically, we've never had a bad show in California. California puts on for Creeping Death. It's really, really sick, honestly. I also love going to Colorado. It's beautiful, Colorado. Again, another place that we always have good shows. I love going to Canada, especially, it's weird. It's the love-hate thing because I can't speak French, and it's not hard to get around, but it's a little bit harder than what I'm used to getting around and stuff like that. And sometimes my debit card doesn't work, but like in Montreal, I love playing in Montreal. That's another place that we've never had a bad show there. It's always crazy. So Canada in general, I love, what else? I don't know. Every place that we go has its like, you know, kind of its perks. I love going to the Midwest too. People like to hate on the Midwest, but people are super nice. The hospitality is super nice. The shows are good. People come out, they buy stuff, they support you. It's really cool. You know, it's a very, very, there's like a tight-knit feeling every time we come here with just people in general. It's very family-like, you know. It's cool. I like it a lot.
Sweet. Is there like a band that you've, can you name like one particular band that you've had like the most fun with on the road?
I guess just by default, I'm going to have to say Fuming Mouth, but that's only because we've done a tour every year since 2018 together. So, and it's like not, we do it on, it's on purpose, but it's not like on purpose. It's like, oh, you know, so-and-so, like, hit us up for this tour. I heard they were hitting you up. Like, oh, let's do it. And, like, you know, stuff like that. It's like, okay. So it's we've had a lot of fun with them. We did a full U.S. with them last June, and that was incredible. One of the best times we've had as a band, because it was just us two. So we were in it together, and, you know, it was very not DIY, because it was still a booking agent and all that booked it. But it was smaller places and stuff like that, and it was two bands, so it felt very, like, close, you know what I'm saying? And there's only a couple of them, so we were, it was, you know, it was basically just, like, a band of one band going out and playing two bands together. So it's really cool. All of our times with them, we were actually just with them again, with the Acacia Strain, Rotting Out, and Chamber, when the tours all got canceled in the middle of it, so... our drummer Lincoln was filling in for them at the time, and they were actually on their way to California, and they actually just ended up turning around because they were like, I don't think, well, mostly because Lincoln probably should have gotten home with everything going on, and then they were like, well, if we have to go all the way back to Boston, then we shouldn't go all the way to California if things aren't going to make it. So it was a kind of a bad situation to end on, but everything's going to eventually get back, and we're going to get back on our streak. We were like, hey, we have to do a tour, at least one run every year, just as a bit, you know, just to keep the streak going.
That's cool. So they're like your favorite travel companions pretty much, huh?
Yeah, they're the homies.
Nice. So favorite toy as a child and why?
Favorite toy as a child and why? I would probably have to say, I used to have, it's funny because these things are worth like a bunch of money now, but I used to have this is the dual answer. I used to have a Millennium like Falcon toy, yeah, like from the 90s. And I looked it up and those things are literally worth a couple of grand now. And then I had an AT-AT toy from the 90s as a kid, and yep, those were always my two favorite toys. I would play with those things, and I would center my Legos like around it, because I didn't have any other like Star Wars action figures, so I just had to make stuff with what was going on around. So I like those. Later on, I got really into collecting those toy die-cast cars, like not like the Hot Wheels ones, but like the bigger scale ones. I had like a pretty big collection of those when I was a little bit older, but yeah, those are my favorite ones.
Yeah, I had those Star Wars. I had the Millennium Falcon too, and all the figures, and I was just like,
yeah.
And then I was just an idiot, like, you know, lighting them on fire and stuff like that, burying them in the sandbox. And it's like, now you look today, right, you're like, damn, how much money did I just waste?
It's like, right? It's like, man, I could have saved myself some rent one week or something like that.
Exactly. So do you have a favorite wrestler?
Ooh, man, I haven't watched wrestling in so long. Let's see. Back in the day, I think my favorite wrestler was Rey Mysterio and, I liked Rey Mysterio. I liked Stone Cold. I liked Eddie Guerrero, and I liked Rob Van Dam. Those are the ones I remember specifically always rooting for, and it's because I liked their moves pretty much. RVD would do the 5-star frog splash, and at the time I had a bunk bed, and I would always jump from the top of the bunk bed onto a bed of pillows onto the ground trying to do that as a little kid. That was wild.
Yeah. So is there, you know, I usually ask everybody this one too, because I'm a veteran myself, and I remember when I was mobilized overseas, how, you know, I mean, talk about kind of being used to being quarantined, you know, mm-hmm, and finding stuff to do to occupy your time. I would always like love listening to podcasts and stuff like that. That's another thing that inspired me to do this. So is there, mm-hmm, any message that you have for our military members currently overseas?
Stay up, keep your head up, stay safe, stay healthy. My parents, funny, both my parents were actually in the military too. That's where they met. My mom was in the Air Force, and my dad, he was an officer in the Navy for like 20-something years. So we moved out. We moved around a whole lot. That's why I lived in California, because obviously naval base is there and stuff. So, yeah, definitely have ties in the military and stuff. So, you know, stay safe, stay healthy. My same message is the same for everyone, you know. Just stay safe, stay healthy, take care of your loved ones, take care of yourself. That's pretty much it.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Hey, it's been great talking to you. Where can people that want to, like, keep up with your music and everything during this time, or they haven't heard it yet, where would you send them to check it out?
You could find us on any social media. We're on Facebook under Creeping Death. We're Instagram and Twitter, Creeping Death TX. If you want to support us, the best way, honestly, is to buy our plethora of leftover merch that we have on our Big Cartel. That's creepingdeath.bigcartel.com. We have everything that we had that on tour up in the store. We'll ship it to you pretty much wherever. We actually have a special now. We're selling some masks, Creeping Death masks, also on our Big Cartel. So you can scoop those up as well for the time being.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. One last favor from you, Trey. Do you mind cutting a promo ID for the radio show here?
Yeah, sure.
Just introduce yourself and say, you know, you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Okay. This is Trey. I play guitar in Creeping Death, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Awesome, man. Thanks a lot. Hey, it was great talking with you. Hopefully, you know, when you guys come through, like, the Cleveland area, we'll connect, and maybe I'll take you down by the training camp.
Hell yeah, that would be sick. I need more Browns merch, TBH, so I'm absolutely down for that.
Awesome, awesome, dude. Well, hey, once again, great talking with you. Stay safe, and hope to see you guys out there soon.
Thank you. You too, man.
Brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
What happened to Savage, man? When he got out, he just disappeared, you know?
Not only got divorced.
Yeah, he got screwed on that deal.
And it's, I don't know, he had two boys, I think.
It was funny, he didn't get to go to Desert Storm, but he volunteered, so he stayed on the base, right? When we come back, we had this one active duty asshole named Minnick. Guy was a dick. Well, anyway, he had a girlfriend and a wife. Well, the girlfriend and his wife, they both called and asked him, well, when's he going to be here? And he told them both the same time, what time the plane's coming. So when he come down the thing, his girlfriend was running toward him and his wife was running toward him.
he wanted to climb back on the airplane.
I hope they both weren't pregnant.
Oh, my God. They really... Savage, you laughing at
this? I know, he was laughing at this.
Oh, man.
Nice. You see a bosun mate, Minnick?
The Minnick, yeah.
I'm shocked by that. That does not surprise me.
And thank you for listening to another story time from the VFW Hall, brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.